3 John, verse 2. You know, if you've been following along with us over the last several weeks, now over the last several months, I think it's been at least 2 months and a fraction that we've been dealing with the book of Galatians. And the theme that has become more prominent over the last several weeks in this study has been the ability of the believer to now house the presence of God by the Holy Spirit and to be able to live, how many here this morning, live by and follow the voice of that Holy Spirit in contrast to a list of rules. We have come alive in Christ. So this verse right here, you say, Pastor Lee, why are we going into all of this, into so much stuff? One more time, I just want to show you what God's desire is for you. How many believe that every word in this book is Spirit-led and inspired? Look at 3 John chapter 2. Here is God's heart for you. 3 John chapter 2, it's a greeting. But how many know the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today? He says, Beloved, I wish... Now, the word wish there is a translation, King James. He's saying, I desire above all things. I want you to think about that. I desire above all things that you may prosper. I'm interested in prospering. I hope you are, because we serve a God who is really into everything He touches, prospering. Are you here today? God's desire is for you to prosper in your daily walk with Him. I'm going to get a hold of some truths over the last few months that are strengthening your... Number one thing for me is confidence in Him. Strengthening your ability then to trust Him and follow what He has to say. How many are experiencing, as you begin to realize and the wraps of religion are taken off, joy has come back into your relationship with Jesus? Do we need to have a revival, or am I in the right church? How many are glad for joy this morning? Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord being our strength. How many are prospering in joy? Can people tell a difference in you when you're in a public setting? I mean, oh, God's called us to be thermostats, not thermometers. We don't reflect what's going on around. We, by His grace in the Holy Ghost, have the ability to set the temperature in the room. It's a little warm in here right now, isn't it? Are you warm? Guys, I'm hearing seeing a lot of heads saying it's warm. Could we check and see? I noticed most of the ladies are going no. The guys are going yes. Is it warm? It seems very warm to me. Could we make sure, Chad, I know up here it is, that we're on air and not heat, and then maybe double check these. Where are ushers at this morning? Are they hiding? We need a ushers training meeting again, I think. I don't see a one in the room. Are the ushers talking in the foyer? This is open training right now. Somebody go interrupt them and tell them we need an usher. There's only one, that's why, and he's busy. All righty. Very good. So there's a call for help right there. You don't have anything you're not hooked that you're doing in the church, you're not hooked up. We need ushers. We got one this morning. Amen. See Mike Rose. There you go. 3 John 2. Look at it. Beloved, aren't you glad we are the beloved in Him? Yes. Loved of God. Boy, you don't hear that a lot. Beloved, I wish above all things, I desire above all things that you may prosper. How many are prospering in your walk with Jesus? How many are prospering in your bodies? You know, if you're not, you can. How many are prospering in your ability to hear the Holy Spirit? I realize it's a growth. It's something we grow into, but how many are becoming more and more? I pray that you are. That is our prayer for you each week as we're moving through this thing, that you be less conscious of a list of rules and more conscious of the ruler who lives on the inside of you. Hallelujah. I'm really glad for Jesus today. Are you prospering in your finances, in your business? Do you know that the Bible promises to prosper his own? Huh? I feel like I'm at, I'm not going to say what church I was going to say. How many know God wants to prosper his own? You've heard me quote many, many times, Psalms 1 through 3. Here it is, blessed. How many know that we are blessed in Jesus? But this Old Testament scripture speaking, the truths of God's word says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many can quote it with me? Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I love this. Listen. Quote with me. I love this. I can hear people quoting with me. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be, this man shall be, this woman shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. His leaf. I got to go on and listen to you, and then I lost track. So his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll bring forth fruit in season. How many are prospering? The fruit of ministry. Do you know that everybody in here has a calling from God? You've got something to offer because of the Holy Spirit in you. Gifts and callings of God. He'll bring forth fruit in a season. His leaf will not wither. This is a sign of your vitality and your youth. I said your vitality and your youth. There's a few of you young people over 70 need to be shouting hallelujah right now. He says your leaf will not wither. I'll never forget our church in Florida, man. We had full band, not band, bands that would cover a whole stage twice. And it was, I mean, Puerto Ricans, you think this is loud, timbales, drums, conga, everything you can think of. And it was an absolute blast. We knocked the back wall out. And those people, they embraced it. They loved it. And I remember I used to call him my favorite teenager. 83-year-old Mr. Cortez. He would be right up in the front row when that thing was in full, I mean, full praise and worship. A little rock and roll, a little bit of Latin, and it was loud. He'd be right up in the front, just dancing and going the whole time. They say Smith Wigglesworth used to get up every morning. They said for a solid 10 minutes, sometimes longer, he would dance like crazy for a full 10 minutes in the Spirit, worshiping and praising God. Now, you may think that's weird, but he raised 18 or 19 people from the dead. That isn't weird. Maybe it is for some people. He was a powerful man. You love Jesus today? Are you prospering? And the fruit of what God has called you to do. Amen. Prospering in your business. Prospering in your marriage. Colossians gives such plain, simple help for the family and for a marriage. I won't go there right now, or I won't get to what I need to get to today. How many know he desires? He says he desires above all things that we may prosper. That's awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the whole context is about money. The whole thing is about giving and receiving, chapter 9. And in that dissertation that Paul gives there by the Spirit of God, he says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, that Jesus, part of the work that he did for us on the cross, he was made poor so that we could be made rich. Now the word rich there means a full supply. God desires for his people to have a full supply. In chapter 9 he says, so that we may be able to abound with all grace to every need. Are you prospering? How many know that we can be prosperous in God in all things. He says here, I desire above all things that you may prosper. Would you lift your hands all over the room? Say, Lord, I receive greater, greater dimensions of prosperity in my life. My relationship with you, my ability to hear from the Holy Ghost, my boldness to step out and speak a word of truth, my boldness to lay hands on somebody and see a difference made, my ability at work. Some of you men, you know, we think that if we just stay quiet, the Holy Spirit will do all the work. A time where a word is spoken in due season, that God can help us to gently, in our own way, with our own personality, speak a truth into somebody's life. Father, I thank you for prospering us. In all that we do. I thank you for prospering our marriages. Father, I thank you that the word, if there's anything that would heal a marriage, it'd be us submitting to your work of grace in our lives. Knowing that grace, utterly and totally undeserved, has been freely given to us. Therefore, we can freely give by faith what maybe someone we perceive does not deserve. The healer of broken relationships. Father, today I thank you that you prosper our prayers. Our prayers for our loved ones, our children, our grandbabies, those that are wayward. Father, I thank you today in Jesus' name. We prosper because of you. Your desire and heart for us that we would prosper. And Father, this morning you added, and be in health. I love that. Father, thank you for strong bodies, able to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just love to preach, pray. Preach praise. You never know when I'm praying, when I'm preaching. I love it. I hope you do. Finishing up, Psalms 1:1-3. He says it will bring forth fruit in our season. Our leaf will not wither. Here it is, guys. And whatever we do shall prosper. Reach up your hand one more time. Thank you, God, for prospering me. For health and life and strength in my body. This is why we take the time to hit these things the way we do in the fashion that we do, that these things would get down in our hearts. John put it this way. We know that we have eternal life because we've confessed Jesus as the Son, but he also said, lay hold of it. Lay hold of. And so in this study, that's what we're doing. We're laying hold of eternal life that is already within us. Now, if you've been following along, you've been learning some things, maybe some of you for the first time, some differences between the old and the new covenant. I mean, know that we as believers, this is for maybe those that are newer to this stuff, the rest of you, you're getting an opportunity to learn things and how to teach it to somebody else, okay? So we know that we as believers in Jesus now live under a new covenant. There was an old covenant. We live under the new. Amen. Last week, I could see the surprise on some people's eyes. The old covenant ended and the new covenant started, not between Malachi and Matthew, but at the resurrection, victorious resurrection. The old covenant ended as he hung on the cross and said, "It is finished." Everything that needs to be done is done here. And the Bible says he was buried, resurrected on the third day. We're getting ready to celebrate that. We should celebrate it every day. I don't understand celebrating it once a year. His resurrection, I think, is alive in us every day. How about it? Or it is, whether I think it or not, it is. And so, when he was resurrected, we know that this new covenant changed everything. You've been following along with this, little things that most people don't notice. For example, I love the passage of Scripture that I taught on for so long, the importance of speaking faith. Mark chapter 11, you remember that? Verse 23, Jesus starts out speaking to disciples in verse 22, and he says to them, he says, "Now have the faith of God," or "have the God kind of faith," as it's been taught accurately. This is after he demonstrated the power of words when he spoke to a fig tree and commanded it to die. And Scripture says that they noticed, the disciples did. Peter spoke up, said, "Lord, the tree that you cursed yesterday is dead today." And Scripture says, "For it had dried from the roots up." Jesus spoke a word of faith, And in the unseen, even though nothing appeared to change on the outside, in the unseen realm, things begin to change. Scripture says that when he spoke the word of God, what could be seen didn't look like anything changed, but the root of the issue began to dry up. How many times we get excited and we get fired up about the Word of God and get a hold of some truths and learn to begin to speak in faith, and we speak a few times and don't see any change, and we get discouraged and we abandon our faith because we didn't see immediately or even a little time what we thought we should see. How many know we need to keep our mouths right? Let the Word of God prophetically come out of our mouth in relation to our situation, and let God take care of the unseen. Matthew 18, Jesus is speaking along these same lines. Very interesting. He says that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed on heaven. This is the same little group of passages where he tells us that if any two of you should agree, this is great, great power. That's why marriages, man, you need to do whatever you got to do to get in agreement. Submit to one another in love. Find your place biblically and get together in faith and watch what God can do. Scripture says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. That's pretty awesome. The power of agreement. In this same passage, he says that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will. What he's saying is, I mean, there are people that have done all kinds of crazy things. I remember back in the 80s, people getting a hold of this stuff and just wild-eyed about faith. And how many of you, we all go through that. We learn new things and take them too far. There were people going up over cities in airplanes, binding the powers over the cities. They thought they had to get up in an airplane and fly up into the high areas and bind the powers in the heavens. Jesus already said, you do it down here, I'll take care of it up there. And that really isn't even what he's talking about. What he's saying, you bind in the seen, I'll take care of the unseen. You loose the power of God in what you see, and I'll take care of what you don't. Jesus spoke to a fig tree, and in the unseen realm, it began to dry from the roots up. How many know it's important what we say? Speaking words of faith. So then over in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus says that if you say to a mountain, you remember this? Be thou removed. Speak to a mountain. If you say with your mouth and say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And you don't doubt the things that you say, but you believe that what you say will come to pass. The Bible says, not Brother Hagin, not Lee Shaw, the Bible says you will have whatever you say. Turn to your neighbor and say that out loud. You will have whatever you say. I get a kick out of people who are planning on being sick in flu season. I don't plan on getting sick. I don't remember the last time I was sick. I'm not being braggadocious, and I'm not going to knock on wood for anybody in here either. I believe in the power of God to keep me healthy and whole. We all grow in different areas. Are you with me? But I believe that we are the total of our talking today, our talking from yesterday. So it's important. But as we move on in this verse of Scripture, you will see that Jesus begins to speak to some things, and you'll recognize. See, if the reason I'm going into Galatians so much is so that every believer, at least that's in here, can begin to decipher between old and new. Because if you're still fearful about your relationship with God, if you're still fearful about how He feels about you, if you're still fearful about moving by faith into what He has promised for you, you are at some level are still living a New Testament life, a new covenant life, but under old covenant principles. There's a lot of people that take the new covenant and turn it right into a legalistic form where everything still is about our performance and what we do to achieve more from God. So this is why I take the time that I do. Now, here you're going to see a quick picture of that, because in Mark 11, 23, hopefully there, you'll see that he begins to speak immediately. He says right after that, in 24 and 25, he begins to speak about, this is a powerful truth. He said, and when you stand praying, he says, whatever things you desire, believe that you receive them. This is another part of this speaking to mountains. In this prayer, while we pray, I believe at that moment, regardless of whether I have it or not, or see the change or received it, he says, in that moment, in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in the spirit of faith, believe in that moment, see whatever you have believed God for. What is the mountain in your life? Begin to speak to it. And Jesus says, in that moment, you need to receive in the Spirit, see with the eyes of faith. And tomorrow, the same thing. Don't turn it into a legalistic work, but simply the flow of His grace that we can believe. I believe that I receive right now, already. I may not have it physically. I may not have a manifestation yet physically, but I know that God's word is true, and He's given me this kind of power. And then He moves on and He deals with something else that's very important. He says, and if you have aught against any, are you angry? Resentful? Let me tell you something, that under the new covenant, and I'm going to explain that in just a minute, that has all changed. You're being angry, resentful, having unforgiveness, those kind of things in your life. I'm here to tell you that because of the work of Jesus, it does not change God's heart and attitude and love and ability and desire to bless you and love you and to work in your life irregardless. But what unforgiveness does is we, not God, has nothing to do with God. We reach up and turn the blessing spout, you know, what did they used to say? The spout where the glory comes out. We reach up and we turn it off. We do, not God. God's over there saying, what are you doing that for? Everything I've already freely given, what are you doing? But that's what unforgiveness does. It affects us. It doesn't affect God. Under the old law, it could affect God. Under the new covenant, it doesn't affect God at all. His love, every sin has already been fully paid for in the work of His Son. Even your little pity party that's gone now for years and separated you in relationships and everything else, and you've made every excuse and spiritualized it and given everybody the story of why. While it hurts you and nobody else. In fact, unforgiveness is one of the strangest things, because we punish ourselves for what somebody else did. That makes no sense at all in my book. Let it go and move on. Bless them. You have freely received grace, now freely give it. They don't deserve it. By God, I'll never listen. I didn't say trust them or go into business with them. What I said was love them and pray for them. And move on. All right? That's a whole free sermon that I hadn't even planned on talking about. Okay, so here we go. So, but then as he moves in, he says something very strange. And I want you to see this. This is why we're hitting Galatians so hard. He says, and if you have aught against any, he says, forgive so that your Father in heaven, depending on your translation, but this is what it says, my paraphrase. Forgive so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. Forgive others' trespasses so your Father in heaven will forgive you yours. Jesus, heads up, he had not died yet. He was still a Jewish rabbi. See, most people don't, because they don't know where to separate. I mean, we just preach our hearts out on Sunday morning. But if you haven't taught people where the old ended and where the new started and why and what happened, the old is not obsolete and that it's thrown away. Mm-mm. We still need the old law. Not you and me. But we as a people, humankind needs the law. Paul said it was a schoolmaster. So we don't throw it out. But for the believer, in our relationship, in the context of our relationship with the Father, it has become obsolete. I read it several weeks ago. I don't have time to go into it now. Read, write this down. You got the pads that Angie gave you. Write 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and read it in several different translations, and you will see absolutely that that which was glorious, so glorious that it made Moses' face shine so that they could not look on him, must needs be done away. He said specifically what he was talking about. That which was written in stone, the ministry of death, he said, must needs be done away so that that which is much more glorious could come into play. Put into opposition, this is your own Bible. Jesus is a Jewish rabbi, now still under the law. Scripture says that he, and he's the only one that could do it, came, as I said last week, to fulfill all the law for us, because no man could ever do it, now or ever. He came, and he was in the process of doing just that. And even in that state, he told men who were not born again, if you will speak in faith, you will see mountains move. Think about the fact that he had disciples. Think about it. They were not born again. He said, go in my name and preach and heal the sick. We have people who were not born again, but went under his commission and power and authority. And Scripture says that they saw healings, they saw miracles as they went under his authority and his commission and healed the sick, cast out devils. They were not born again. It's not possible to be born again until Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. And I don't know why most people don't know that. Have you ever had this one hung over your head before? Well, you better live right, brother. You better keep all your sins confessed up. You never know. I mean, if you're living in sin and something were to happen, you could go straight to hell. You know, it says over there in the Word that many will come to Jesus in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff in your name? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So people, you better be living in, I mean, there's a healthy fear. That's because they don't understand Old and New Covenant. I'm not lawyerizing here. If I can get somebody to see this and begin to step over into the New Covenant, that's where miracles happen. That's where you can finally beat that codependency. Because you're not leaning on anybody for your wholeness anymore. Some of you single gals in here don't need a man. God has a man, the right man, if you trust him. But you don't need a man to be complete, to be whole, to be used of God, to be of great value. I think until you're able to walk free of that and know that in him you're perfect and beautiful and able and strengthened by God and called of God because of this new covenant, it is at that point when you're not needy, you need somebody else to make you valuable. That's a setup. When you become whole in Jesus, and you know, it doesn't matter. He's with me. He's going to prosper my way. He's going to prosper my ability to be happy and to live free. I love Isaiah 54 that tells us that he will cause us to be established in righteousness, and the result of that is that we'll oppression, let me add / depression, will be far from us. Why? Because we're established in righteousness. If we're not established in righteousness, it amazes me the so-called spirit-filled believers that struggle with depression. Father, I thank you today in Jesus' name. You love those that struggle. And right now we lift them up and we speak life, spirit life into their hearts and into their minds, that you would lift them and strengthen them today. We come against the spirit of deception that takes advantage of those kind of people. And Father, we thank you for the light and life of Jesus that makes all the difference. Can you say amen? He loves those kind of people. The thing is if you're in that stuff, young lady, young man too, for that matter, but I'm speaking, I think, to somebody in particular this morning. I really don't know. But you don't need. I think the minute that you get whole, the Lord will just cause one of those divine appointments where the man that you've been looking for, when you're whole, you don't need somebody now. You're walking in, and God adds to your life. How many know He supplies all our needs? As long as we're trying to supply all our needs, we're going to get ourselves in a jam. But how many know He supplies all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Amen. Okay? So, but it's important that we know these things. But the thing is, until you can separate old from new, Jesus is a Jewish rabbi and He says, forgive so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. If you understand where the separation is between old and new, that won't bother you. You'll rejoice in that Jesus was changing the direction. He would change it so much that they would kill Him. They didn't kill Him. He gave Himself. But as far as the flesh could see, the Jews, this is what Jewish men of God, now filled with the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, so I don't get in trouble, said, you guys killed Him. This same man rose from the dead, and it's by Him and through His name that we do these great miracles. And people repented and got filled with the Holy Ghost, and revival spread throughout the country. Okay? But here's the deal. If you can't separate old from new, it'll always confuse you. The old stopped when He died, was buried, and resurrected. The new began upon His resurrection and the ratification of the new covenant in the heavenlies, where He sprinkled His eternal blood on the mercy seat and sat down forever, the work complete. Because of that, we have access directly now to the Father as sons and daughters. Now, I want to back up a little bit. So, you'll see in the Gospels a lot of old still hanging on as Jesus is bringing this to a close. In this scripture, we see that. And there's many others I could show you, but this is one of the more well-known ones. We see that after His death, burial, and resurrection and His ascension, over in the book of Ephesians and other books, the Apostle Paul now by the Spirit of God is speaking, and he says this. He says the opposite now, because everything, can you turn to your neighbor, bump him kind of hard and say, everything is changed! Because of the new covenant. Everything has changed. Paul said, speaking to a young fledgling church, he said, listen, brothers and sisters, it's important. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but you can go there and look yourself. He says, listen, brothers and sisters. He says, forgive one another. Even as, he says, don't be doing this anymore. Don't be in contention. Don't be in battle with each other. You're sinning in this, and it's not good. But because of your profession in Jesus, I'm still calling you beloved sons and daughters. That blows most people who can't separate covenants, blows their mind. Well, wait a minute, are they Christians or not? I mean, if they're living in sin, or are they living in... No, he's calling people... In fact, Ephesians and Colossians is really strange. It says, you guys need to stop this activity. Because the activity that you're in, brothers and sisters in Christ, children of light, those that are children of darkness have received the wrath of God for this behavior. So why are you in this? Stop it. He didn't say you're going to get wrath, because the Bible says already that God's wrath was fully exhausted in the work, the body of the Lord Jesus as He hung on the tree. He's not saying God's going to get you. He's saying stop it. This is not who you are. Receive the full work. This is what He's saying in Ephesians 3. He says, I pray. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying for the family of God. And he said, my prayer is that their eyes would be opened up, that they could see what is the calling and ministry of Jesus. And the result of this is that they would get a revelation of the length, the breadth, the depth, and height of the love of God and understand that according to the power that works in them, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think. How did we get the gospel so turned upside down? Today's church would say, you guys better repent, turn or burn. Paul says, turn and live. If you keep living this way like them, you're going to destroy each other and yourselves. He didn't say you're going to hell, you're no longer a son. But he says, quit this behavior. And then he says something really interesting. He says, and forgive one another. Hold the phone. You can study this for yourself. How many here got Bibles and know how to read? I got a lot of scriptures I got to get to. You can look at it yourself. He says, forgive one another as God, check it out, as God for Christ's sake has already forgiven you. Do you see the difference? Over here in the old covenant, he's saying, forgive so that your Father will forgive you. Over here in the new, after the work of Jesus, he's saying, listen, it's still important to forgive, and here's why. Because God in Jesus has already forgiven you, so why are you not forgiving? Old and new. Why don't people know that? Because as long as I can keep you in check, I can control you. If I turn you loose in the freedom of God, eventually, I mean, it takes a while to drive a, you know, ride a bicycle without training wheels. We wreck and we're going to mess up and hit the pavement a little bit and have a few bruises. Turn you free, man, you'll begin to experience the life of God without fear. So the new covenant, say it one more time, everything has changed. Everything. A lot of what Jesus said, the Bible says that He came first and foremost to the Jew. The bulk of His, all of His ministry, with a few exceptions. And see, we see little flashes and pockets of where He was going with all this. Like with the centurion. He was blown away by a heathen Gentile soldier, an officer over 100 men, who said, I've heard what you say and I believe it. Just speak the word. You don't have to go to my house. Just speak the word and I know she'll be healed. And Jesus said, Jesus, He was without beginning and without end, the Alpha and the Omega. Colossians tells us, by Him and for Him were all things created and everything subsists. Hebrews 1 says, Jesus, the express image of the Father, that everything that was made was created by the word of His power. He stood in marvel at a yet unborn again Roman heathen soldier who said, I believe what you say, just say the word and it shall be done. And he says, wow, that's great faith. A little Syrophoenician woman came to him with her need. And there was a little bantering thing that went on there, kind of interesting, in which her response to him was, but Lord, even the dogs. He, in essence, basically called her, it wasn't, you dog. It was a term they understood. Puppy. But you're of a lesser class. And she said, but Lord, even the puppies gather up the crumbs that are found under the table. A Gentile. No law. Both of them received miracles because of their audacity. They heard truth, believed it, pressed in. And God says, I've not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. You see little pictures of where He was headed. But He came to the Jew first. So a lot of what you're reading in the Gospels is Jesus still a Jew under Jewish law, fulfilling all of the law completely for us. This is what Paul is referring to. Write this down. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you here today? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto our complete wholeness. That's what salvation means. Not saved from hell. It's not even just saved from your sin. It is bought back, redeemed, made whole in every sense of the word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to you and I. You didn't know you were Greek, did you? Everybody else is what he was saying. How many are glad for Jesus today? To the Jew first. Why? Because Jesus went to the Jew first as it had been prophesied. Went unto his own and they rejected him. The chief cornerstone which the builders rejected. It's all there. Isaiah talks about it. That they would reject him. There was a plan of God that this great salvation would go to the whole world. How many are glad today that it did? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Old and new. So important to know. How many had ever seen that division right there before? You don't have to answer, but most don't. Been in Pentecostal churches for years, and they wouldn't know. They'll hear me preach grace, the grace of God, and where God is at, and they'll go over there and read the New Testament and say, wait a minute, I don't know about what Pastor Lee said, because right here it says Jesus is me. What would Jesus do? WWJD, I got the bracelet, man. You know, we need to, I mean, who could be more important than Jesus? And he said it, so therefore it trumps everything else. You don't understand context. You don't understand old and new. Jesus said that under the old covenant. He said, forgive so that your father... And they understood that. But under the new, everything... Bump your neighbor one more time and say, everything. Everything has changed. Hallelujah. How many are glad that it has? There's a lot more examples. You know, this great new covenant that we enjoy. There's a few more little things like that. Turn to the book of Galatians. Oh, surprise. Let me get back here. I can see what I'm doing. Turn to Galatians 4, and I'm going to say a few things before we look at this particular verse. I'm going to throw a bunch of verses at you. Don't try to turn there. Write them down. You can look at them at home. You're in Galatians 4, right? There's several things that are the result of this division, and if you don't understand it, how many know that you can be free but not walk free? And this is where so much of the church is at. Okay? The new covenant, I already said it earlier, but I'll just repeat it again. This is mind-blowing. Made it possible for him to come and live inside of us. Not in a temple made with hands. But in the human spirit, take up residence. This is why a couple of weeks ago, 1 John 2:20, 1 John 2:27, you have in you now the presence of God by the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. You remember that from several weeks ago? We got a real revelation, the fact that most of us see ourselves after the flesh. Hopefully in all this, we'll begin to see ourselves after the Spirit. And it will cause us to rise in victory and in power. Amen? New covenant. The second thing that he did is he removed one of the great things that happened as a result of this new covenant while we're taking our time is he removed fear. Most of the world lives in fear, but that's normal. What's sad is that most Christians live in fear. And this ought not be so. Romans 8:15 says, we're not called again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy God, Father God. John says in 1 John 4:18 that God's perfect love for us cast out all fear. Some of us have seen some things and been through some things, and it's shaken our confidence. But if we can get these things separated, we'll understand what is God and what is not. We'll also understand that this life is but a vapor. The main plate is still ahead. We'll be joined again with loved ones. There's a whole new thing that God has going for those who He's called and are in Him. But in the meantime, to know what is God and what is not, you only know this in an understanding of new and old covenant. It blows my mind, the people that will argue with me and say, I'm in this condition because God had to smack me around to wake me up, had to break my head or break my... I'm sorry, He's not in that business anymore. He's not a thug. He's not a bone crusher. Could you say with me, He is good. And His mercy endures. Your Bible says this. He is good. Come on, would you say with me today? He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Come on, praise ye the Lord. Can we do that? Come on, all over the room. Let's just stop a minute. We praise you and honor you and thank you today. Even when I don't understand and I can't see what's going on, I am beginning to have confidence as I'm hearing these things and things are being set where they belong. The confidence that you are good. I love it. 2 Timothy 1:7, we all know this one. He has not given us the spirit of fear. So then what kind of spirit do you have? Of power and of love? Oh man, somebody hurts you and you carry that around and it separates your walk and your fellowship and even separates you from your blessing, not God. And you're just stewing and going and blowing and doing all this stuff and everything that is going on. Some of you need to wake up and realize that's not you. Here's the real you. Power, love, and a sound mind. Stop saying, I can't. My dad used to tell me all the time. I said, Dad, I can't. He said, can't never did anything. Grab that hammer and let's go. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, can't never did anything. Grab the word and let's go. Greater is He that's in you. Hebrews 10:19 says that because of the blood that He shed, that we can enter, and we already have those that are in Jesus, we can enter in to the throne of grace with boldness. Boldness. No fear. I'm so glad perfect love has cast out all fear. I'm so glad that because of the blood, I can stand in His presence without any fear. That's pretty awesome stuff. How many are glad for Jesus today? Turn to hold yourself there. Hold there in Galatians 4. I do want you to see this one because a lot of people don't even know it's there. We always refer to Hebrews. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. It's just over, just a little ways from where you're at. Ephesians 3, verse 12. Says, in whom? In who? It says in the previous verse, Jesus. In whom we have boldness and access. You ever worked for a boss that you didn't feel like you had access to him? You ever been to a church where you didn't have access to the leadership? Are you here today? Shouldn't be like that. And God is not that way. We, because of the blood of Jesus, have boldness. That's the opposite of fear. How many are glad for boldness today? Boldness and access. That means anytime you need Him. Anytime at all. I'll be there. In fact, I'm in you. Draw on me. Look what it says. This is for you and I. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith. If you're not walking in that, that means that you're still confused on some level about this old and new thing. Whew. How many are glad for the freedom we have in Jesus? There's an anointing that is in here right now. You feel that? God is pleased with this conversation. Get a hold of it. And what you don't understand, don't worry about it. Write these verses down. Meditate. Get in Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. But begin to take confidence. Say, wait a minute, I do have an anointing in me. The real me has, there's an anointing in the real me. I've been looking at me after the flesh, but I know more than I think I do. Lord, I thank you for opening my eyes up that these things would be revealed as I begin to walk in them. I mean, this is powerful stuff. I'm very glad for the blood that gives us boldness and confidence. Say it out loud, confidence before God. This is the stuff that the new covenant does. Here's another thing it does. It moves us from servanthood to sonship. John 15:15, write it down. Jesus says, he's speaking to his disciples, and it's another one of those mysteries. It's not a mystery to me. I'll give you my opinion, and I believe I can back it up with the Word of God, and you can study it for yourself. But Jesus is changing everything. He says, behold, he's talking to his disciples, he said, behold, I no longer call you servants. He said, because the servant relationship is a different kind of relationship. There's no relationship with the master. He's just a servant. He said, but I call you friends. So he moved it from servanthood to friends. But he couldn't move it all the way yet where he was going, because where he was going was sons. Up until now, you've been known as servants. But I, Jesus, in the fulfilling of the Master's plan from the beginning of time, now am saying everything's getting ready to change, and I'm nudging it in that direction. And because of what you've received and because of what you've seen, this here is no longer, you do this or else. Or you do this because I said so. What is it? Does a servant have any opinion about anything? A servant serves. A servant is there. In those day and age, we were probably talking about a slave who's not even getting paid. They get room and board. Go do, and they go do. You don't lip back, you don't talk back, you follow the rules. That's the way it is. No need for a relationship. You just do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of your needs. I'm so glad that God didn't leave it that way. From the beginning, He yearned to have a relationship with Lee Shaw. Great love wherewith He loved us. He didn't want a servant. He wanted a living, vital relationship, sonship, where he could pour his power and all that he was in his prized creation and say, now walk like me. You're never going to get that done in your own strength. That's why most religion is just a stinking, rotten lie. Even in good, spirit-filled churches that I pastored in and preached in, I still held up a standard that nobody could meet. Your problem is you don't love God enough. Well, that's everybody's problem. How many glad for Jesus today? He said, I call you. He says, listen, guys, things are changing. Something's shifting in the spirit. I can't call you servants anymore. We're not to the son thing yet, but oh, it's changing. I'm calling you a friend. A friend of God? Are you stinking kidding me? Under the old covenant, I'm calling you friends. Where was he going? I do want to clarify this because I know there's always the religious legalist Joe. Well, what's he saying, bless God? We're all servants of God. That's what the thing. And Paul said, I, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to all be servants. We are all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ unto one stinking another. How else can I say it? How's that on the recording? It's not serving him as a disconnected slave. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ unto one another. That's why John says your relationship with God is directly connected to your relationship of love with one another. That's pretty awesome. So you're not a servant to, no longer servant status. I am a servant, just like you're a servant, of him to you and one another. But my relationship with him is no longer servant, and it's not even friend. In fact, let me bump it a little further for you. I'm a child of... That's the wrong song. That one actually says it right. There's another one that talks about child of God. I understand I'm not going to knock that or mock that. The bottom line is I'm not even a child anymore. I'm not even a child anymore. I'm not a friend, and I'm not a child. Scripture says under the new covenant, that's why we got to get it right. We have now become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Servants because of this relationship unto one another, of him unto. But I'm not a servant. I'm a son. You're a son, a daughter. That's not possible unless you, by the Spirit of God, are his offspring with all that he is already in you. That's pretty awesome. I'm no longer a friend. Even friend is good, but it wasn't all the way good. Son, by the Spirit of adoption. Galatians 4. Hey, where do I get this stuff from? From the Word, because I understand old from new. This is why Paul was so fired up in the book of Galatians. He saw the whole gospel and where it was going in the world and potential revival and everything being threatened because there were those that were coming in saying, yeah, Jesus is good, but you still need this. And they had a southern accent, I guarantee you. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, are you ready for this? Is no different than a servant. Does your Bible say that? I have a Mormon Bible and it says that. I just don't read the back. No, I'm kidding. The Mormon Bible does actually say that. They just added a few things. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. Though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors under the appointed time of the Father. Listen to what he says. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Whoa, that's good news. When the fullness of the time was come, he sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There it is. You're not a servant. You're not a child. In fact, in the Spirit, you are complete in him, Colossians 2:15, who is the head of every principality and power. That's crazy. Crazy good, not crazy. Crazy good. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Do you see that? Do you live every day that way? We can talk about, blessed is the man who walks around the counsel of God, understand the way of sinners, sits and sees the scornful, his lies in the law of the Lord, and his law meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, bring forth fruit in the season, leaf will not wither, whatever he... I probably skipped some of that. Brap! We can talk about that all we want. But I want to invite you with confidence to live in. Rest. She said it earlier. Well, most of the church is talking about rest right now. But there's very few believers that are resting. They're kind of like resting in a hammock. You don't ever rest in a hammock. You might sleep if you're tired enough, but you don't rest in a hammock. They're just doing a hammock thing. I don't know where that came from. There's a rest. We're going to continue to talk about it. You don't know how desperately I want to read this chapter out of this book. But we'll get there when we're supposed to, because this stuff needs to be laid down. And you're getting something out of this stuff. I want you to walk out of here just with a little bit more every week. Confidence in God, confidence in Jesus, confidence in who you are in him, not self-confidence. That'll get you in trouble. But Christ confidence. A belief that tumbles out of your lips with, I can do all things through Christ. And when we blow it and fall, we say, you know what? That was a lesson, not an end. Get back up, brush my knees off, and move forward. Stumble, I say it all the time, stumble upward and forward. Religion says you stumble backwards. In Jesus, you don't have to do that. Up and forward. I'm very glad for the new covenant. Did you ever see that before? Children, no different than servants. You're no longer a servant or a child because when the fullness of the time was come, he sent his Son into the world, born of a woman under the law. Listen to the specifics. And the result of us becoming sons, He sends the Spirit of adoption into our hearts. Lift up your hands all over the room today. Come on, everybody. I don't care. Listen, in here, I don't care how good you think you've been living it or not. Right now, this is not about you. This is a Jesus moment. This is all about who He is in you and the glory and honor He deserves from each of us. The devil's hammering you about something you've been doing, and you're living over there in crappy sin who is not who you are anymore. Then when you leave today, say, "Devil, thank you for reminding me of that. By His grace, I'm walking out of the garbage. But God loves me." You get some confidence and you get God as part of your daily practice, you'll be more aware of Him. You'll struggle less with that garbage. Wish I had way more time than I do. Every man and woman in here, either son or daughter, let's say it out loud. I am son. Come on, you say daughter. I'm not going to say daughter for you. I am a daughter. Okay, we got that one. Got that one. Okay, here we go. There we go. Come on, all over the room. I am a son. Turn to 1 John. We've heard this a lot. Some of us remember the song we sang in Sunday school. But maybe this is starting to come alive in you now. Stopping to be a little thing that we saw on a flannel graph as a child, or on an overhood, or a song we sang, and it becomes a reality. Get ready, brother. 1 John, I love this verse. Chapter 3, verse 1. How many knew the song when you were a kid? You can quote it because of a song. Behold, behold, what manner. What is John saying? John's saying, this is mind-blowing. Check this out. Behold, what kind of love is this? Look at what your sonship is predicated on. Love. Nothing else. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world doesn't understand us because it didn't understand Him. So quit whining about they don't understand me. Shoulder up and say, of course they don't. That's why I don't need to be an arrogant, preachy, self-righteous jerk. That's why I was able to slam my elbows before they knew what I was. And that kind of thinned out in heaven. So I would slam my elbows right down on a picnic table under fly while Jack Daniels and everything else and half the people were drunk without any feeling bad or judgmental or worried about what any of those guys were thinking. I knew I was there with a purpose. And today some of those guys, they don't even live in the state anymore, are born again and serving Jesus because somebody sat in the midst of them without judgment and yet without partaking. Some thought I was a self-righteous because I wouldn't take the glass of whatever. But others observed that even though I didn't take it, I passed it on. I didn't judge anybody else. And they were the ones who literally came around later and said, would you pray for me? Some of them, it took a while. But get over yourself. No, they didn't understand Him and they're not going to understand you. The Bible says you have an anointing in you. Peter says you're a peculiar people. So you're weird. Get over it. You may look the same, you may everything the same, but the world can smell something You don't belong here. They know. And if they're hurting and hungry, they'll be drawn to you. And if they're not, they'll be repulsed by you. And you got to be careful not to take it personal. They hated him. I'm way off subject now, but this is all free. No charge. Good stuff. We need to know. How many are glad for Jesus today? I feel like it could go on another 3 hours. Sons of God, aren't you glad for that? Ezekiel 37:14, Ezekiel is prophesying and he says, the day will come when I will put my spirit in you. This is what we're talking about. The spirit within. So one more time as we close. Something I've been hammering for the last however many weeks, but maybe it's opening up even more. Our day-to-day walk now under the new covenant looks like this. You're not trying to get something more, to be more for God, to get more from God. Here's what it looks like under the new covenant. Everything that you need, everything that pertains to life and godliness, Peter says, has already been deposited in you because of your profession of faith in Jesus. So from here until the day you die, your number one labor will be renewing the outside of you by the Word of God, so that it looks more and more like who you are for real. That's what that is. The second thing is that it's important for you to understand separation from old and new, because we're no longer led with a bull ring in our nose by a system of laws. Or, in cowboy terms, I'm not behind you with a Florida cow whip in the cow pens of the swampy flats of Central Florida, driving you through 12-foot high corrals, half-wild cattle, literally driving them and slamming them up through pie corrals up into a holding place where I can begin to sort and do what I need to do with them, driving them with a whip as they're held in place by high fences and corrals. This all represents the law. I'm no longer a servant. I'm no longer a child. I've become a son of the Most High God. He put the spirit of adoption on the inside of me, and now He in me leads me and guides me into truth. I know, if I'll get quiet and listen, I know right from wrong. I know what will help me and bless me and what won't. I know the direction that I need to follow. I know what I need to do in reference to my wife or my husband. I know the way that I need to pray. Stop saying I don't know. Stop saying I can't, and begin to say by faith, I do know some things. God, help me get it from here to here, because I know the real me in Jesus knows what I need to know. The Spirit of God in me now leads me. How many are glad for the Holy Spirit? How many are here last week? How many are practicing being led? It's okay to practice being led of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Newsflash, you're going to miss it sometimes. That's why I love grace. But I'm learning to follow His voice. That's great stuff. I'm very glad for Jesus. Oh, man. Now I have a new law written on my heart. So when we go back into, I said this last week, I feel like a deja vu all over because I was doing the exact same thing. Let me put this up here so it's exact. And I said, so I want to read chapter 5 of Extra Virgin Grace, which I'm going to try to discipline myself this week and just start in. I already have it marked. I have it highlighted what I want to read to you. It will pull all this together because it'll take chapter 5 of Galatians, not the book, and remove the confusion, help you separate old from new, and turn the lights on your relationship with God. Galatians is not saying if you don't get it right, you may lose your salvation. Galatians is not saying suppress the works of the flesh and you'll produce fruits of righteousness. It's not saying any of those things. When you see it, you'll love it. But we saw what we needed to see today. How many are glad you came to church today? Got something out of this. Amen. As we move forward, would you just lift your hands right there where you're sitting all over the room? I want you to hear yourself say some things to God. Number one, I'm blown away by your love that has made me a son and a daughter. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption. And I know by that same Spirit everything I need to know. Thank you for confidence and boldness because of a new and better covenant that I entered into through the profession of faith and heart belief that Jesus, come on all over the room, would you say it with me, that Jesus, you are Lord and Savior of my heart and my life. How we love you today, how we honor you and thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, I'm no longer a slave or servant, but a son. Your inheritance is mine. Actually, my inheritance is you. Oh, man. Let me this week be aware of who I am, who you are in me. That one person and that one situation that triggers anger, I thank you, Holy Spirit, you help us see it before it gets to us. And a soft answer will turn away wrath. I thank you that that particular situation where a bill comes and it initiates an argument with wife every time, I thank you that I'm listening to the Spirit and I see it before it gets there. And a soft answer by the Spirit of God diffuses something that created chaos over several days. I thank you, Father, that by your Spirit, when everybody's talking sickness and flu, before it ever gets to me, I'll open my mouth and rejoice in the Lord who is my salvation and my healing and stand boldly. Amen. For I'm a son, not a servant. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. And John put it this way, greater is he. Listen, this has got to stop being a cliche and it's got to become a rally. Father, right now I thank you for revelation of the Holy Ghost. Greater is he. Say it with me. Greater is he that is in me. That's got to stop being a cute little slogan that you heard in Sunday school that helps you get through another day, and it's got to become a reality. Today, greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he. Say it out loud. Hear yourself say it. Let it tumble off your lips. Let your own ears hear your own lips say, greater is he that is in me. I am a good mama. I do know what needs to be done. Devil, you'll not back me into a corner again. I thank you that I don't discipline out of fear anymore or out of hurt. I can discipline out of confidence, knowledge. Listen, follow the Holy Spirit. Read the Word. Find out. He'll help you. You're a better mama than you think. Trust the Holy Spirit. Take time. Man, there's a lot of places I go, I gotta shut up. I'm full. In case you haven't noticed. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Say it one more time. Greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Isn't it great to be alive? Great to know him. You don't know him today, you're in the right place. I'm going to remain up here. I'd love to be able to pray with you. I think I know everybody in here. But just for a moment, before we dismiss, every head bowed, every eye closed, right there where you're sitting, there anybody in here today that you'd say, Pastor Lee, I need prayer. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to know for sure that everything's okay between me and God. Just that simple. If that's you, would you slip your hand up real high where I can see you just for a moment? Thank you.